Once again, good morning, everybody.
Welcome to church on Father's Day. I tell ya, you women, prepare to be bored. And men, prepare to be shamed and beaten on. Because that's what happens on Father's Day, right? On Mother's Day, moms get praised and thanked. Because being a mother is often the thankless job, and you got to grit it out in the trenches, and there's just not much honor and glory to changing diapers and cooking grilled cheese sandwiches. But so moms, it's good. We make a big deal about Mother's Day, and rightly so. But Father's Day, man, it's time to call the men out. Time to really kind of beat on you a little bit, right? To exhort and to challenge you to step up. Be men. You stinking men. You get home from your job and you take off your boots and you put your stinking feet on the stinking counter, the coffee table, and you turn on the stinking TV, and then you're surprised when your dinner's stinky. Let's not do that this morning. We'll save that for another year. Father's Day. What can we talk about with Father's Day? You know, both men and women, both married and unmarried, both parents and non-parents, everybody needs to be called to honor God, right? And the roles that God has given them. To be faithful and faith-filled in your jobs, in your roles, with their tasks, and the most important relationships that you have in your life. We all need to be exhorted to that. But Father's Day, we should focus a little on fathers. My kids got around to finally asking, when's Kids Day? And it's every day, yeah. But Father's Day, you know, it's good to focus a bit on fathers. Now, women, many of these things apply to you, so don't tune out. And unmarried men or men who are married and aren't fathers yet, this is also good for you guys as well. But I see an example in our Father God. And I think that it's an example to us fathers and an encouragement to us. You know, I've been a father for just over 12 years. My eldest son celebrated his 12th birthday, and being a dad is one of my favorite things. I really like being a dad. It's fun, it's rewarding, it's satisfying, it's hard, it's challenging, it's frustrating at times, but I really, really like it. And I think it helps me understand God better. I want to be a good dad. I had a good dad. I want to be a better dad. I want to emulate my heavenly Father. So, as I was thinking about Father's Day and I was thinking about what we can do, we've been teaching through Galatians. We've had a couple weeks on that, and we're kind of hitting the pause button here. And then Clifton's actually going to share next week on Galatians. But I thought we could pause and talk about dads, talk about fathers this morning. And I thought it would be good. Good challenge to my own heart. And a good challenge for us as a church as we encourage fathers. I want to give glory to fathers and give glory to God. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for a chance to do this. Lord, Father's Day comes up once a year, but it's a time for us to remember, a time for us to celebrate, and a time for us to think about what a father can be, a good, good father. And you are a good father to us. So help us to sink us into your word this morning. Help us to learn from you and help us to be able to live this out. In Jesus' name, amen. So talking about giving glory to dads, to fathers, what is glory again? Glory is kind of a Christian-y word these days. You don't hear a whole lot about glory. Well, if you look up a definition, glory is honor, it's high renown, it's magnificence. And so, glory, you give glory to an Olympian who wins. You know, Michael Phelps, he's got a lot of medals. He's a swimmer, Olympian, he's won many, many, many times. I didn't look up how many times he's won because it's a lot. I think he's the winningest, if that's a word. The GOAT, the greatest of all time so far. And he has won a lot. So you give him glory for his achievements. You give him glory for the way that he is gifted and the way that he's used his gifting, his talents. He's worked that up. He's worked really, really hard and he's won a lot. But you give glory to a sunset. You know, you look out at a view like that and you go, wow. You walk into Michael Phelps' presence and maybe you're like, hey, I think I recognize that guy. Where have I seen him before? But you see a sunset like that and it just kind of knocks you back a step and you're just like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. That is fantastic. The colors, the ruggedness of the mountain peaks, the clouds, and how it's all set off like that. And you can try to take a picture of it. I've photographed so many sunsets, and they all look weak compared to the actual thing. I'm starting to get tired of it. I'm starting to think, you know what? I should just enjoy the sunset. Just watch it. I mentioned I was on Lake Superior, and the sunsets were behind us because we were on the North Shore, but the sunrises were just beautiful coming up over the lake. I took a lot of pictures, again, because, I don't know, that's what I do. But none of the pictures really do it justice to actually being there, to have the 360 view of all the clouds as the sun comes up. And it's just beautiful. It's magnificent. And there is a glory to the sunrise. Now, when we talk about God, God's glory, his magnificence, the honor that we give to God is something a little bit unique because of his amazing attributes, God's character. I really like how Wayne Grudem talks about God's glory. He's a theologian. He's written a big, thick book. He says, the glory of God is the visible manifestation of the excellence of God's character. And that's kind of a thick sentence. But in the Bible, it talks about God's glory almost like shining out from him, like rays of his glory coming at you. And I just think about, you know, combining somebody like Michael Phelps and the excellence and the winningest and the best of the best being that with this conquering king, with this all-powerful being and a sunrise and a mountain peak all like jammed in together and just pow, just bowl you over with God's glory. There is an intrinsic glory in the majestic, the strong, the powerful, or the beautiful. And we honor that, and it all comes together with God. And so when we see God's character, when we think of that, when we imagine that, when we behold it even with our eyes, we see God's glory. He is the most, the highest, the best. An old definition from an old catechism says that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, his wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And so when we talk about glory, we think about God. We think about the amazingness of who God is. And then we think about us and how we are made to reflect God, and how God as our Father, as our Creator, as our King, as the Sovereign Lord, he puts a little bit of his own image inside of us. And he as the most, bestest Father of all gives to fathers some of his attributes in little ways. And when we see those ways, I think that we say, oh, that's good. That's a good part of being a dad. You know, being a dad can be hard, and sometimes we had bad dads or dads that made mistakes. I make mistakes. But when I do the right thing, when I'm what I'm supposed to be as a father, I reflect God. So I think we can give a father, we can thank a father today. You can thank your father or another father, and you can say, you know, I'm going to give you some glory. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to tell you that you're good because of the ways that you reflect our Heavenly Father. So what are those ways? Well, I think we can give a father glory because a father is strong. Strength is an attribute of a good father. Now, there's different types of strength. There's physically strong, like this guy. My dad can beat up your dad. That sort of strength, strong, you know, the type of strength that can carry a dead washing machine up from the basement by himself, you know, just like, oh, I'm just going to do it. Just go for it. But then there's the emotional strength of a father to be able to bear up under stress and strain and hardship. It's the type of dad who can just keep going, who, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, when the tree falls on the house, and dad has to get up and take care of it. You know, and there's something physical about that too, but that's emotionally hard. It's draining, and a dad just has to be able to say, okay, I'm going to shut off the emotions right now, and I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be tough emotionally and mentally. The father who mentally locks in, so we've got physically strong, emotionally strong, mentally strong, who locks in on the goal of getting his family home through the snowstorm. Driving the trusty minivan and getting there. And the road, you know, you're slipping and you're thinking, okay, if I go 30, it's going to take me twice as long to get home. But that's what needs to be done. And I want to be strong in those ways. I want to be strong that takes care of people, to have a strength that provides. And I think that sort of strength deserves glory. And a father deserves glory for his strength, for his accomplishments, for his effort. Now, my strength is limited, but God's strength, God is the most strong. I think about this verse from 1 Corinthians 1. It says, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness, even his weakness, is stronger than human strength. And then in Job 42:2, he says, I know that you can do anything, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. God has ultimate strength. All of his power is right there. It's on tap. It's available. All the time. What God sets out to accomplish, he accomplishes. This past week, I wanted to put in a new water heater. My water heater was starting to leak just a little bit, and we're doing an addition on our house, and so I want to vent my water heater out the side instead of going up the chimney, because soon the chimney will be in the exact middle of the master bedroom, and that's not a good place for a chimney. So I'm venting it out the side, but I was not strong enough to get the water heater down into the basement by myself. So I asked Skylar to help. And I had Nikolai and Phil. Phil's over there. I just pointed out Skylar because he was walking up. We didn't time that, by the way. So, and honestly, those guys moved it down into my basement without me. I just stood and watched. And it was nice. Nikolai and Phil were on the bottom, Skylar was on the top, and they had it on the dolly, and they just thumped it down the stairs, and they didn't even break it. It works. But I was not strong enough to do that myself. I know that my strength is limited. As much as I wish that I was Superman and I could just do it, I can't. But God, his strength is boundless. He is the most strong. There is nothing that is stronger. There is nothing that is too hard for him to do. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I give up. God never gives up. God never fails. He is the most strong. So give a father glory for his strength, for his ability to provide and to work hard, but give God the most glory because he is the most strong. Number two, I think we can give fathers glory for being knowledgeable, for knowing stuff. You know, how to change a tire, how to set up a router for the internet,
how to unclog a toilet, the type of dinosaur that they see on the, you know, the green one on the roadside by the gas station. The real dimensions of a 2x4. How hot is a habanero? And so on. These are things that are important to know, and that fathers know. Fathers should know things. Fathers should pass on their knowledge to their children. They should teach them. And not only just facts, but experience as well. This over here, that's where the fish are. That's where we're going to go fishing. This is how to do this. This is how to do that. Not in a prideful, know-it-all sort of way, but just in a, I'm going to help you out. I know this. I've learned this. And even more than just knowledge, but how life works out together, applying that knowledge, wisdom. And fathers should get glory for what they know, for how they apply that, how they are wise. Well, what about God? Obviously, he knows the most. He should get the most glory for what he knows. Hebrews 4 says, "No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." God knows it all. He sees it all. There's nothing hidden from him. Wow. What an amazing attribute. Here's a longer verse from Romans 11. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, and who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." God is the ultimate knower of everything. He is wise. He knows how everything fits together. He knows what my appendix is for. He's got it all. He even knows what might have happened. I don't know, I like science fiction. I read science fiction, and I like to watch science fiction. And there's this problem that you get into in science fiction with time travel. What might happen, or what could have happened if something would have gone differently. If, you know, if Marty McFly messed up, he almost wasn't born because his mom kissed him. You know, that sort of a thing. Or the Avengers had to bring the Infinity Stones back to the exact same time that they took them from. I got both generations there, right? It's what could have happened. And God knew this. Jesus knew this. He talked about this. He said, if the same miracles that I did here would have been done there, they would have repented. The fancy theological term is middle knowledge. He's got that. He knows it. And he can change things. You know, you think about all of the complexity of our planet, of our world, about all the different parts and pieces that go together, and how God can be all-powerful and strong, but yet he has all this knowledge, too, about how it all works. And he can shape it so much so that a butterfly can flap its wings over in Asia and a tree blows down in my yard. It all works out according to his plan. It's his knowledge. And when he changes something that we notice, we call it a miracle. When he changes water into wine, when he makes a blind man see, something like that, we call it a miracle. But when that butterfly flaps its wings, we don't call that a miracle. We just call that nature. But God is behind all of that. He's in all of that. He knows all of it. My knowledge is limited. You can give me glory because I know a few things. I know how to change a tire. I know how to do a bunch of different stuff, and I can pass that on. I have some wisdom. But it's all limited. It just is a reflection, a very small reflection of God and his power and his knowledge and his wisdom. So give God the ultimate glory for being the most knowledgeable, the most wise. Number three, I think a father should get glory for being just, for being fair, for standing up. You know, and I've got four kids, and every now and then they have conflict. It's rare, about once a month or so. Okay, it's a little bit more than that. Quite a bit more than that. They have conflict, and it was, this person wronged me. You know, last night, there was one child who felt like another child was looking at them oddly. And they said, "That's creepy. Don't look at me like that." And then child number one felt like their feelings were hurt because they didn't like to be called creepy. And so there was this conflict, and both of them were a little bit upset and a little teary-eyed. And it's like, okay, so who's right here? Is it bad to call your brother creepy? Well, maybe. It's not very nice. So you know, and were you looking at him creepy? Well, no, that's just how I look. Okay? So a dad has to be just. He tries to be just. He tries to help mediate and bring them together. Who will stand up for the smaller and the weaker person? Hopefully, a father does that for his kids. A father does that for other people in their life. I have a very, very, very clear memory when I was a kid being at a public swimming pool, and we were in the gigantic group showers, and I don't know how old I was, but these kids had gotten a shower nozzle busted, and they were spraying this super cold stream of water around at the shower, and they were hitting other people, and my dad, he metered out some justice on those kids. And I'll always remember that because, you know, I hadn't seen my dad that angry ever with me. But man, it was very impressive. We'll just say that. He executed justice. And he worked things out. And that's what a father should do. What about God? Now, God may at times not seem just because bad things happen to good people. And that's hard. But I think God's justice works on a cosmic and eternal scale. We can't just say, "Hey, God, that guy cut me off in traffic. Smite him. Smite him, O mighty smiter." It just doesn't work that way. God's got it all worked out. Psalm 89 says this, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Faithful love and truth go before you." And then in Deuteronomy 32, it says, "The rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God, without bias, he is righteous and true." And so we can count on God to meter out perfect justice and to make sure that it is all paid for in the end. Give glory to a father who is just. Give all the more glory to God who is the most just. What else can we give glory to fathers for? I think we can give glory to fathers who are faithful, who follow through, who keep their word, who are honest and true and have integrity, who make good on their promises. And, you know, it's kind of an expectation for anybody. You know, you think about a good friend and you think of somebody who's faithful to you, who's there when you need them, sort of a thing. But man, a father who is that, who makes good, who says that they will do it, and then they follow through and they do it, that's a good thing. And some of the wounds that we have from our fathers were when they weren't there. When they missed, when they weren't faithful. I try to be faithful. Hopefully I would be described as a faithful man, a faithful father, and yet I struggle. I'll say that I'll take out the trash and then something happens and I get distracted and then I forget. I say that I'll take one of my kids on a special hike or do something else with them and something else comes up. My faithfulness is limited by my power, my knowledge, and so on. But God is not bounded by those things. God intends to be faithful, and He is. He is ultimately faithful. I like Psalm 33 out of the ESV version. It says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness." We can count on our God, our Father God, to be ultimately faithful. Joshua 21 says this, "None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled." Wow, I want to be a father as much as I can to reflect that attribute of God. If I can be faithful like that where I promise something and it always comes true, yes. That is a character attribute that deserves glory. God, our God, is the ultimate in faithfulness and truth. All of His promises are completed. That means that when we read this book and it says that God loves us and that He will take care of us and that He will redeem us and He will bring us home to be in heaven with Him, He means it and His promise is true. It's true. We need to give God glory for His faithfulness. Our fifth one, I couldn't leave this one off. A father should get glory for being loving, for loving his kids. And love is this passionate feeling of affection that translates into action. It's a hug, it's a kiss on the head, it's a walk in the park, it's time together. It's working long hours to provide. It's taking the kids to another Little League game. It's listening to them tell the same knock-knock joke that they told you yesterday. It's love. It's giving up your me time to engage with the family, spending time picking the perfect gift for their birthday, or checking under their bed for a monster for the 12th time this week. It's love. Fathers, we love our kids, and sometimes it's a struggle to love them, but we need to keep loving. It's right, it's appropriate, it's good. And I think that a dad should get some glory for the love and sacrifice that he puts in to care for his kids, to be tender, to be compassionate. And that just reflects God. God loves us. It is in the core of his being, and he gets ultimate glory for his love. Psalm 89 says this, "I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth." It's who God is. 1 John 4 says that God is love. We have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. God loved us. And so we see all of these attributes of God coming together. We see this picture of a loving Father who is just, who is faithful, who is strong, who is knowledgeable. All of these things, this is our God. And we as dads, we get to reflect these things. And so we get glory on a Father's Day, and you know, maybe we get a special breakfast, and maybe you get to go out afterward, after church or whatever. You get a phone call from your kids. And you get a little bit of glory, a little bit of thanks, a little bit of praise for being a good dad, for the things that are good about you being a dad. But all the more, we get to give glory to our Heavenly Father for what He's done. Because God, in all of those attributes, He loved us so much that He would not leave us in our sin. Romans 5:8, I quote this one all the time. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We did not love God when He loved us first. You know, when I think about my kids, and I love them so much, And I know that they love me, but sometimes it doesn't feel like they love me when I tell them to clean their room and they don't. I say, could you please pick up in here? And they say yes, and then they don't do it. I come back a half hour later, and they're playing with the toys that they were supposed to have put away. And I think to myself, okay, I don't feel loved. I know that they do love, but they're weak. They're frail. They're people. They're humans. They make mistakes. We all have this thing built into us now called sin. And we start off sinning even before we know that we do. And we disobey God. God says, this is the way to walk. This is the way to live. And we fail and we fall. And our good Father still loves us. And he loves us enough that he sacrifices for us. And he proved it at the cross. See, God is just more than all these things. He's also perfect. Matthew 5:48 calls us to perfection like him. He says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we miss that mark. We fail, we fall. He demands perfection, and we don't give it to him. And he can do that because he created us. All of his other characteristics, his perfection, joins his strength, his knowledge, his faithfulness, his justice, his love. And they all come together in sending Christ to live that perfect life, like I talked about during the music this morning. All of those glory-worthy qualities come together, and they are shown at the cross in his love for us. Do we believe this? I think we do. Most of us, I think, would say, yes, definitely, I do. Jesus lived, died, rose again, died for me. That's my thing. Maybe you believe that. Maybe you're still working on it. But that's the truth. If we believe what he says, what he accomplished for us, we're saved from our sins. We're made right with God. We get to be with him. And that brings ultimate glory to God. When we say, God, oh, I messed up, but thank you that you loved me enough. God gets to show his justice and his love at the same time, because a just judge can't just be loving on the bench and forgive everybody and just say, there's going to be no penalty. You sinned, you messed up, that's fine, I forgive you. No, because he's just. There has to be payment. And he knows what you've done. He knows what I've done. The ways that I've been faithless, the ways that I've sinned, the ways that I've spat in his face. And in his power, he came down and he humbled himself so that we could be with him. That we get to glorify God for that, and we get to do that for an eternity. And that's a wonderful, amazing, fantastic thing. I think so. So we as dads, we get to show some of these things off. We get to show what it means to be strong, to be faithful, and all the rest. But ultimate glory goes to God. We are just a reflection, little reflections of our true Father, our perfect Father. Any joy, any praise that we get, any thanks that we get for reflecting God should just be reflected back to him. As we say, oh, thank you. Praise God that he has enabled me to be this way, to be a good dad, to be a good father. So let's honor our fathers today. Let's praise them, but let's also praise God, because he's the good Father. Let's live for him. Let's live in joy and security and peace. You know, Father's Day, you probably got a lot going on. Most of you are probably connecting with your dads and doing different stuff. Let's just take a moment and just sit in silence and worship God, pray, before the rest of today keeps going, all right? So just just take like 30 seconds here to just sit, and then I'm going to close this off in prayer, all right? Lord God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, we worship you. You are the strongest, you are the most knowledgeable, the most just, the perfect God, the most loving. It's amazing how wonderful you are. Impress us, Lord, with yourself. Help us give you the worship that is your due, the glory that is your due. You don't share your glory. Help us give it all to you, Lord. Help us not just speak the words, but live the life as much as we can. In weakness, in frailty, your power is perfected in weakness. Your strength comes through all that strength that you have. So we ask you to help us live for you. Help us to walk in faith. To get up and dust ourselves off when we sin. To repent and turn back to you and keep living for you. We thank you for the cross. For the truth of what you've done. We celebrate you, our ultimate Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for coming this morning. It's good to be with you guys. Clifton's going to be up next week talking about Galatians 2.